Good evening. It's good to be here with you this evening. I appreciate the invitation from the elders to bring a report on the work that was done in the Philippines this last February and March. I appreciate the congregation here. The congregation here supported me in my efforts, in our efforts, Harry Osborne and myself, as we went over there. Individual members of this congregation supported me, and you have no idea how much I appreciate your confidence. This was my first trip ever to go over to the Philippines. Actually, this was my first trip ever to go overseas to do this type of work at all. And so I was taken aback that I was asked by Harry Osborne to go to begin with. Harry's been over there for the past 10 years or so. Three or four times a year he goes over there. And I was very humbled to be asked to go over there. And I was very humbled while I was over there because the conditions in the Philippines are much different than you can possibly imagine. We talk about poverty, and we talk about not having and wondering where our next meals are going to come from. I tell you what, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We are so spoiled. We are so fat in this country. And if you truly want to see and understand what going without is, go to a third world country. Stan has been to India. He understands. Go to the Philippines. Go to places in Mexico. And you can get an idea of what it's like. We were in the Philippines from February 21st, or actually February 21st is when we left. And March 11th, I'll never forget March 11th as long as I live. That's the day, long, long day March 11th was, coming back. That's the day that I came back. I was supposed to meet Harry in Minneapolis, but both of our flights got changed. And I ended up going from DFW to Detroit to Tokyo Narita, and then on to the Philippines, on to Manila. Harry went from Oklahoma City to Salt Lake City to Seattle to Tokyo Narita, and then all the way into Manila. And I was getting ready to get on the plane in Narita because they had called for everyone to start boarding, and I still did not see Harry anywhere around. His plane had still not landed, and we were getting in line to line up, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do in Manila all by myself? And finally, I see Harry over there. He's waving like this, and so I hurriedly go over and join him. And not long after that, we got into the plane. We got on the plane and made our trip to the Philippines. If you're not familiar with the Philippines, let me look at my time. Okay. I told one of the members here that this was a 2-hour presentation. It took me 2 hours to do it. I was in Granbury, and she. You're kidding. I said, no, it took me 2 hours, Sunday morning and Sunday night. And she stopped and she looked and she said, you're kidding. And she looked at her husband. He's kidding. I said, no, I've got 105 slides. And you're going to see all of them. Maybe not very quickly, but you're going to see them all. If you're not familiar with the Philippines, this upper island here, and including this island here, Mindanao right here, this is all part of Luzon up here. These middle islands right here, these are the Visayas. And down here is the big island of Mindanao. We were mainly in the Visayas here, and then up north of north of Iligan here, in a little town. That's not really that little. It's the town of Tagigarao. That's where we spent the majority of our time. First of all, we were down here in the Visayas. We flew from Manila down here to Bacolod, and that's where we began our preaching down in Bacolod. This is the island of Negros right here, the city of Bacolod. But we didn't stay in Bacolod because this is the hotel where we were in, looking up and down the street. We immediately began preaching over in Iloilo. And to get over to Iloilo, well, this is the hotel where we were preaching up and down the streets. This is a typical street. You'll see this wherever. The buildings all look very like they're decaying. And so much of it is all around you, wherever you are in the Philippines. It's old, it's tearing down. You'll find, if you go to Manila, you'll obviously find very modern places. Cebu City, where we also were, you'll find some very modern places. But so much of the Philippines is just old and run down, and this is what it is. These are the brethren we went traveled with. Harry Osborne here in the middle. This is Lordy Salunga and Jonathan Carino. These two men stayed with us for about the first 10 days that we were there. Lordy, this man right here, Lordy lives up on Luzon. He lives up near Clark Air Force, where the old Clark Air Force Base was located up north of Manila, northwest of Manila. And he flew down and he stayed with us and he traveled with us the whole time that we were in the Visayas. Jonathan Carino, he lives in Cebu, the city of Cebu, and he traveled with us. And they acted as our guides, not interpreting, because you're not going to believe this, but the major language that is spoken over there is English. Most everybody speaks English over there. And they'll understand 90% of what you say as long as you speak very slowly and you enunciate your words very correctly as Americans can, and you cannot use contractions. They do not understand don't where they understand do not. And so for 21 days, you are speaking like this, and you are wearing yourself out because you can't talk like you normally want to talk and just speak it and say it and have everybody understand. But the English is the major language that is spoken over there. The other major language is Tagalog, and Tagalog is spoken mostly in the north on the island of Luzon. If you speak Tagalog in the Visayas and then down in Mindanao, well, they'll think you're just being snobbish and being uppity because you can speak Tagalog and they can't. There are some 180 some odd different dialects that are spoken in the Philippines throughout as you go to the different tribes and the different tribal areas. And so you need men like Jonathan and like Lordy who can speak several different dialects and they can help out when there is a lack of communication for clarification. We were in Iloilo, and these are some pictures of the lectures that we had. We had 79 on the first day and 76 on the second day. We preached basically throughout the stay in the Philippines. I preached basically the same six or seven lessons over. I got really, really good at the same six or seven lessons over and over and over again. It's because, especially while we were in the Visayas area, we were speaking mainly to denominational preachers. The audience here is full of non-Christians and denominational preachers, pastors and pastoras. They call their women preachers there, they call them pastoras. And that's who was mainly in this area, in the Visayas, that's who was mainly there. And just several different pictures here. Jonathan is getting up and he's making a summary. I apologize for the pictures. I'm a horrible photographer. There are many of them are blurry. If I'm in them, somebody else is taking them, and they're still blurry. I apologize. But Jonathan is making a summary statement, and he's speaking in the Cebuano dialect right now, trying to impress upon the people what we've been talking about, what Harry and I have been preaching about as we were there. In Iloilo, six people were baptized. They've been the men down in the Visayas, Jonathan, and I'll show you a picture of Roy and Rodney and Tony. I'll show you a picture of them later on. But they've been trying for a number of years to get a church established in Iloilo. There's not a church in Iloilo. And this is the beginnings of a church there. And so they were very excited and very happy that they had this response, because they've never had this response before in the city of Iloilo. Going between Iloilo and Bacolod, this is a fast craft. And this is a catamaran. It's a super cat. It's a catamaran. And you sit on the inside. And it's an hour and a half trip between Bacolod to Iloilo. And you took it in the morning. And we stayed in Iloilo Beach. And then we took it home. We did that. Everything was fine until the last trip. And the last trip, the storm was coming in. You can see some little islands and people fishing out there. This last trip that we took, that was the one trip that the storm came in. And the fast craft was going like this, and it was going like this, and so we were all going like this, and I was sitting in the back, and I saw the heads of the people, and they were all doing like this, and the attendants who were on the fast craft, they were all passing out the CR bags. It's called a comfort room bag. The restrooms were called CRs, comfort rooms, and they were all passing out the CR bags, and everybody was getting their CR bags, and Lordy was sitting behind me, and he had his hand on my shoulder the whole time. And I was just looking down, and he said, Chip, are you okay? About every 5 minutes, Chip, are you okay? Chip, hour and a half. Chip, are you okay? Chip, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. And Harry's sitting next to me the whole time. He's just talking and laughing and just cutting up, and the rest of us are dying. And Harry's just, well, this is a great trip, isn't it? It's not too bad at all. It's been really worse. I've seen it really worse. We all wanted to beat Harry by the time we got off the boat. But it was one of the eventful travel extravaganzas that I went through while I was in the Philippines. Here we are in Bacolod, and on the first Saturday that we're there, we went from Bacolod up here to Salai City, about 45-minute drive up to Salai City. And we were preaching in the Women's Center here. This part over here, if you look at it, it looks like a jail. It literally looks like a jail. This is a Women's Center here, located just in the city of Salai. And we were offering lessons. Here, this is Jack Jacko, and he was actually having to interpret for us. So we would say a few sentences, and he would interpret. We would say a few sentences, and he would interpret. As we were giving these lessons here at the Women's Center. Now, you look at these women here. How old are they? 13? 14? Maybe 15? No, try 19, 20, 21. They're very young looking over there. And it's very deceptive. This is a women's center. This was for battered and beaten and abused women. They were coming off the street, and this was giving them some place to live, some place to stay. Someplace where they felt protected, and this was all in the upper room of that building, and we were preaching that day through the translator Jack Jacko. This is Rodney. This is Roy here. Wonderful man, Rodney. Wonderful man. Both of them came out of denominationalism. This man came out of a Pentecostal group. This man right here, he came out of a non-affiliated Baptist organization, Baptist group, independent Baptist group. When Harry met him about 2-3 years ago, Harry was invited to go preach in the congregation. Roy asked a Church of Christ preacher to come into his congregation and preach. When is that ever going to happen here? It's not. You know one of the reasons why people keep going back over to the Philippines? I was asking myself that very question. Why keep going over there? Why spend this money? What good is it doing? Well, you know what? Over there, you're invited to speak in places that you couldn't even touch here. Roy was the preacher at an independent Baptist group in the Visayas. Harry was asked to preach there. Harry went and preached. Harry went and taught there. And when Harry came in, Roy was very, very excited. He said, we've got this special guest preacher for us today. And to welcome him, I've got this fantastic song that I'm going to sing for him. And Roy pulled out his guitar, and he played this wonderful song, and he sang. He's got such a great voice. And he finished, and guess what Harry was going to preach on then? You better believe it. He preached on instrumental music. You know what? I believe Harry said about 3 days, the Independent Baptist Church sign came down and the Church of Christ went up. Not only was he converted, but the entire congregation. You want to know why people keep going back over to the Philippines? Because there people listen. It's amazing the response that you'll get. Now, we didn't get massive, massive amount of people being baptized. 6 in Iloilo, 1 later on. But what you do get is you do get your foot in the door, and men like Roy and men like Rodney. Rodney came from a Pentecostal background also just a few years ago. Roy right now is going, right now, let me see, what's today, the 10th? Roy right now has been away from his family for about 2 weeks right now. Because another congregation in another place has asked him to go preach for him, and he's left his family for about 2 weeks to go and help the brethren on another island. You get it. There's such a desire. And sometimes I wonder, and I look at it, I'm not pointing my finger at anybody in particular, probably more than I'm pointing the finger at myself. There is such a zeal and such a desire for the truth, to hear the truth, to preach the truth, that I sometimes wonder, are we lacking because we've got so many things, so much stuff that gets in our way? What do we place in front of God? What do we place in front of our service to God that we could get rid of? I don't know. This is views from the upper room. We're in the upper room. This is views that were all around the women's center there. A playground across the street, not associated, but this is just an open playground. These are called tricycles, and you'll see, when you go to the Philippines, you'll see these tricycles. You'll see them all over the place, and I'll tell you about that in just a minute. On the first Sunday, Harry and I split up. We're in Bacolod, and Harry and I split up. I don't even know where Harry went. I have no idea where Harry went. Jack came and picked me up. Jack and Lordy and Tony and Rodney came and picked me up at 7 o'clock in the morning in Bacolod. The first place we went to was all the way over here on the other side of the island at Escalante. We started at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I did not get back home until 7 o'clock at night. There was someone that I was told who said this. He said, I wouldn't have done that. My sleep's too important to me. I don't get it. You know, I learned a lot of humility while I was over there. The second day I was there, I went back to my room and I just cried. Because of the zeal, the faith, the desire that these people have. And I'm not saying that in any derogatory way or fashion at all. I went back in my room and I just cried. Because I wonder if we had the same zeal, the same desire. If we were in a similar circumstance, would we have the same strength, the same character that they have? Escalante City. This is the church in Escalante. It's concrete. You'll see tons of concrete, and you'll see rebar sticking out everywhere. You can see the rebar sticking out. This is the church in Escalante. You'll see the church in Escalante. It has no walls. It has no air conditioning. You're used to that. Or at least last week you were. They have no air conditioning all the time. No walls. There are no walls. It's about as high as this. It's all concrete on the inside. Concrete floor. Plastic chairs that you sit in. And this first Sunday here, there was a brownout. No electricity. Everybody over there has microphones, so you speak into the microphone so everybody can hear you. No microphone. So I said, not a problem. I speak loud enough. I don't need a microphone anyway. People can still hear me. It started raining. The roof is a metal roof. It starts raining, and it really starts pouring. And the rain gets louder and louder. I've moved to basically the center of the group. And now I'm having to speak like this so that anybody can hear me over the rain. And about halfway through, my voice is going like this. Thankfully, the rain starts to subside. And it stops. And I can go back to speaking in a normal tone. It was one of the most trying. There was another event that's coming up that's going to be coming up that was good, similar to this. But the rain is pouring down. No walls, and you'll have all of these people here, and they travel from all over the region to get to worship services. This is the preacher James Burden, Bearden, and his wife here. This is his parents here. Yes, they're. I'm and my place said, "You like tower over them, Dad?" And I said, "Yes, they're." They're a little shorter, yes. Men of the congregation here, and Rodney, Tony, who traveled with us, Jack, who traveled with us that day. This is a tricycle. Tricycle is one of the major modes of transportation, kind of like a taxi. You'll see these all over the place. In Tagigaraw, they have 15,000 of these tricycles running around. And what you'll have here is you'll have the driver here, and behind the driver, you'll have as many as two people sitting. And they'll both be sitting like this. One, and the driver's here. I kid you not. over here. I've seen as many as seven people sitting here, front and back, seven people sitting there. Yeah, I've seen two on the back, seven here, and there were three up there. Kid you not. Major mode of transportation. From Escalante City, then we went from Escalante to Cadiz. Cadiz City, this was early on a Sunday morning. There was not a whole lot of traffic there. It was about 9 o'clock now. No, it was about 11 o'clock now, actually, in Cadiz. And this is where this is a strip-type center with upper and lower decks. And in the middle of this was an open-air court. And you had all these little offices all along the side here, little path that you followed down and then all the way over. And this is where the church met. It was probably no bigger, smaller than half the size of one of these classrooms over here. And this is where the church met. This is where they were this is where they would meet each Sunday. Don't know what. This is Jesse Isaton, the preacher. This man right here. This wall right here was an open wall where you could hear noises from the other side. You just had to. This was the first encounter that I had with this particular instance, and that was three times that this happened while I was in the Philippines. One of the women here, she was actually having a baby. The baby was hungry. And she started breastfeeding right there. Happened three times while I was there. And you know what I did? Started looking over here. And she just continued on, and I just continued preaching, and it's a normal thing. There's a lot of preachers. I've heard that. I was told that preachers that come over from the United States would have had problems with that. And some of them might even address that. You know what? That's for another time. That's for another place that needs to be addressed. And so you just continue preaching. They were there wanting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you continued on. We went to Victorious. I didn't put the map up, but Victorious. Let's see. We were at Escalante, then Cadiz, then we came back over here to Victorious, and that is where Jack Jacko preaches. And the church there is right here, and this is the church that is in his house. He and his family have hosted the church there in their house. It's a big concrete room, about 20 feet across, about 30 feet deep. And this is where the church meets every Sunday. And they host the church there in their house. This is Jack here. This is his son. I forget his son's name. His son is leading singing right now. Yes, he's leading singing right now. You know how they lead singing. The one who's leading singing, he will get up there. And they generally post everything on their board. They'll post the songs and everything. And so they'll say, okay, we are going to sing How Great Thou Art. And they don't have songbooks. I didn't see a songbook until I got up to Gigao. And probably some of the bigger churches up on the island of Luzon, they probably have some songbooks. But they lead singing. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art. And the words are up there. And the song leader, he will start it off like this. He will say, oh Lord my God. And then he'll stop. And then he'll say, now everybody sing. And the thing I think that they're doing is that they're reminding everybody, okay, this is the song we're going to sing, How Great Thou Art. This is the way it goes. Do you remember how it goes now? Okay, now let's all sing. And everybody joins in. Everybody joins in when he starts singing. Oftentimes, and I catch myself doing this too, the song leader will say, okay, we're going to sing number five. We'll all turn to number five, and the song leader will start off, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, and about consider all is when I'll start singing. They all started at one time. Start in. Support the song leader. He's not up here singing solo. Support him. Sing out when he starts the song. This is Jack and his wife. Jack, his wife, his son, his daughters, one of the men of the congregation, and then Rodney and Lordy and Tony are with us there, back in the back. This is in a neighborhood in Victoria City. Oh boy, I don't want to fall there. This is just in a neighborhood.
it was interesting that right next to Jack's house is a public commons area of this neighborhood. And right in the public commons area of this neighborhood, I found a water pump where they get water. How many people have a public water pump that your neighborhood gets water from, that you have to carry a bucket to? And they were also a congregation in their house. Again, we are so, and I'm not meaning this in a derogatory way, like we're overweight, but we're so fat because we have so many blessings. And so many of them, we take these things for granted every single day. Go over there and live on rice and chicken. Rice and rice.
And rice.
And rice.
And more rice. And more rice.
And then come back over here and recognize all the many blessings that we do have. We are back in Bacolod now. We have lectures for 2 days, February 28th and March 1st. We're at the lecture center here. And Roy is leading singing. And again, many denominational preachers. Area's doing a question and answer session. There were question and answer sessions at the end of every day. This gentleman is one who was being baptized there in Bacolod. From Bacolod, we flew over to Cebu. This is at the airport in Bacolod. And I want you to pay attention. Airport in Bacolod. We're waiting for the plane. It's delayed a little bit. I want you to pay attention. Men's restroom. Women's restroom. What's in the middle? Plan well. I thank Jonathan Carreño because Jonathan was the one who planned our entire trip well. We were never lack or want or need of anything because Jonathan Carreño planned everything well. Now, I didn't go into the bathroom to check and see if he actually had to plan well before going in. We just thought it was a funny picture. Jeepneys, another major mode of transportation. They'll pack 20 people in this side, 20 people on the other side. And yes, I saw people riding on the top. Another major mode of transportation. It's just a giant, it's like a bus, but it's not nearly as big as a bus. They were built after some designs that were left from the jeeps that were left from World War II, and they've taken on a life of their own. They're all throughout the Philippines. This is in Bacolod. This is at the Diplomat Hotel. The Diplomat Hotel there in Bacolod. It also hosted not only our lectures, but it also hosts two different denominational groups who hold services there in Bacolod. And now this here is mostly members of the church in the area here. Actually, this is in Cebu. This man right here is Sam. Sam is an expatriate. He lives full-time in the Philippines. He is from Oklahoma. He is a former U.S. Air Force, and he has just relocated to the Philippines. This is our hotel in the Philippines. This is looking down at a mall. We're at the Marriott in Cebu, and this is looking down at the mall. This is where we would go eat. And we could safely eat there without too much of a problem of getting sick or anything. Security was very high no matter where you went in the Philippines. And back at the hotel in Bacolod, I went out about 4 o'clock in the morning down to the Quickie Mart that was open 24 hours so I could get some Gatorade. And I was walking down the street and I looked to my right, and I saw the security guard who was guarding the hotel. The security guard who was guarding the hotel, they always had him there 24 hours a day. He was sitting there with his shotgun, pistol grip shotgun, just watching. Armed men, as you go in the hotel in Bacolod. Here, you had to get by security gates to get into the hotel, the Marriott Hotel in Cebu. You had to go through metal detectors to get into the hotel. Your baggage had to go through metal X-ray screening to get your baggage into the hotel. Very, very secure. This is Roy and his family. I've already talked about Roy, but this is his wife and his daughter. Just a bit of the traffic. They would turn, and Stan probably is familiar with this, they would turn a 3-lane road into like 7 or 8 lanes.
and you would have people going like this and going around. And I think if you honked your horn the loudest and the longest and the quickest, you were able to get where you were going, because the taxi drivers were very, very good at that. And they were all over the place. From Bacolod, we went to Iloilo by boat. From Bacolod, we flew over to Cebu, and then from Cebu, back to Manila. Wow.
Okay.
Back in Manila, this is the security gate that was at the hotel in Manila, at the Marriott in Manila. This is big hunks of steel. The chains here, the links here, are probably this big, and it would drop down so then you could drive over, and then it would pop back up. You weren't getting into the hotel if you weren't supposed to be there. This is a big X-ray machine that your bags were going through. I was on the outside, and I turned around and I took a picture of the X-ray machine and the metal detector that you walk through, and I almost had my camera taken away from me because they, no, you can't do that. I said, okay, I'm deleting. So, ask me about this later. Let's see. From Manila, we flew up to Tagigarao. I was really afraid in Manila that we weren't going to be able to make it to Tagigarao because Cebu Pacific canceled the flight the first day. And while they were canceling the flight on the first day, Harry was making Plan B. Plan B was a 16-hour bus ride from Manila to Tagigarao. And I wasn't too pleased about having to go on a 16-hour bus ride. And so I'm hoping Plan A works out. While we were sitting there, Harry said, well, I've got Plan C going. And I'm like, okay, if Plan B is a bus ride, what's Plan C? And then he said, I've got Plan D. When he got to Plan D, I was worried that we were going to be on a burrow all the way. But we weren't. Cebu Pacific finally got us up there the next day, the Saturday after we were supposed to get there. We finally got there. Baggage claim in Tagigarao, there's a wooden table, and they throw your bags down, and if you can get to them right away, you get to them right away. You're just right there on the tarmac. This is Rody Gumpod. Rody is the preacher in Tagigarao. Wonderful man, wonderful family. Can't say enough good things about Rody. Rody stands for the truth. He preaches at the Metro Church of Christ in Tagigarao. He has three TV shows that he does, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. He does a radio show 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. He preaches in Tagigarao. He opened up his house to many, many preachers who came from many, many miles away to stay there the entire week while we were in Tagigarao. A wonderful man. We have the opportunity, you have the opportunity to meet Rody Gumpod. He is going to be coming here this summer. He's going to be flying to Washington State, and he and his wife Tessie are going to spend the entire summer here, and eventually he's going to be down in this area in July, and we've made arrangements for him to come over and preach for us on a Tuesday night, and when that is firmed up, I can let you know, and you can come here. If you have the opportunity, you can come here, Brother Gumpod, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and give a report about the work that is done in the Philippines, all the many good things that are done in the Philippines. Some of the traffic in Tagigarao, some of the houses that are in Tagigarao, as we were driving by. Rody was driving. This is the Catholic, one of the Catholic buildings here, and again, no walls. These are all open-air vents here as the congregation meets there. There's no air conditioning there either. We're driving along here, and I'm getting pictures. I'm snapping pictures as best I can because you remember Jehu? What did Jehu do? He drove his chariot furiously. Rody drives his vehicle furiously. There are no speed limits, and Rody drives his vehicle furiously. And we made it from one place to another I would say record time as we were just flying down the road. I looked up at the speedometer a couple of times, and all I said to Harry was, why did my wife would never make this? She'd be all over it by now. But we made it. Rody got us there, and we were going to the Iligan Church of Christ. And we were, both Harry and I were supposed to preach there, but because of the time situation, we arrived in Tagigarao at 1 o'clock, we made it to Iligan by 3. Harry was preaching from 3 to 4. And from four, then from four back, we were headed back to Tegucigalpa, another two-hour trip back to Tegucigalpa. Interesting thing about the brethren here in Iligan. Edgar is the preacher. This is Edgar right here. These brethren, you know what they did? They waited there all day. They were there at the church building all day, waiting to hear the gospel preached. They didn't know when the gospel was going to be preached by these foreigners who were coming in, but they stayed there and they waited. Edgar would say a few words, they would sing some songs. Somebody else might say a few words, they would sing some songs. You know, I dare say, how many of us would wait around all day? When's the preacher going to be here? Well, I don't know. Just as soon as they can. We're waiting on a flight, and then they got to drive down here. When it's supposed to be? I don't know. You're just still waiting. Don't raise your hand. But how many will be here? Waiting. Just waiting. They waited all day long. And they waited part of the day before, because we were supposed to be there the Friday before. And they just waited. Makes me wonder. Back in Tegucigalpa, this was the view from my hotel window. There was construction going on here the whole week long. This area right here was under construction the whole week long. And up to about 11 o'clock at night, you could hear the constant construction. And then add in some metal pinging, because this was a metal roof that was going on here. And that's what you heard about up to about 11 o'clock at night. And I was in the hotel from about 8 o'clock on. I was in the hotel, maybe 7 o'clock on. And that's what you heard all the time. Interesting enough, this is a Catholic building back here, and the bells were supposed to be ringing, and I never heard the bells once. And Harry got up every morning and said, "Did you hear the bells?" And I said, "Oh, no bells." He said, "You missed the bells?" And I said, "Oh, no bells." And everybody was surprised. Oh, everybody that I talked to, "No, I haven't heard the bells. Y'all are just messing with me. There's no bells." But there's supposed to be some bells. The Tegucigalpa was supposed to be known for the bells that come from this particular steeple right there. Just more pictures here. Burnout building here. Just what you would normally see around Tegucigalpa. Rudy Gumpod, preacher there. This is the building at the Metro Church of Christ in Tegucigalpa. One of the major modes of transportation, again, the tricycles. Let's see. Interesting here. They would have their Bible classes. They had regular Bible classes for all the ages. And they had tests. You know what they tested? Can you believe they would test their children? They would publicly and openly test their children on Bible knowledge. They would ask such questions. This was, what are the five acts of worship? And the kids were expected to know a book, chapter, and verse for every act. Can you believe it? The gall that they had to have their children know book, chapter, and verse for the five acts of worship. Know what are the books of the old law. Know the books of the gospel. And you know what they did also? The gall and the audacity of these people. You know what they did? They graded them. They graded them, and you know what they did next? They posted them on the wall for everybody to see. Elders, how much flack would you get if you did that? You're not going to post my son's grade up there, my daughter's grade. No, you're not. Yeah, we're posting everybody's grade. And you know what? This was a 27 of 27. I think the next page over here was a 6 of 27, and they still posted it on the wall. And they didn't post, they didn't put on their 100%. Somebody who's quick in math, what percentage is 6 of 27? They still wrote it on there and posted it on the wall for everyone to see. All the gall and the audacity of them. You know how much of a fit we would have if we dared to post, if we dared to give a test? And this is a normal practice. These are people who know the gospel, know the Bible. They're striving to understand the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they would dare test their children. This is the building. This is the church here. It's built on Rody's property here. Rody's house is right here. His Some of his sons and daughters live in houses that are back behind here. This is where the church meets, a two-story upper and a lower. Just the parking lot area, the pews here. No air conditioning. There's air conditioners on the side over here, on these sides over here, but I think they're turned on only for convenience of us Americans who can't take the heat. Their ceiling fans are oscillating fans that are hooked up like, instead of like this, they're hooked up like this, and they oscillate around like this, and that's their ceiling fans. But they understand no air conditioning. That's just how they live. Tricycles, this is the parking lot area. People are, one of the major streets here. People are going up and down. This sign here that they put out on the worship days, on Sunday and on Wednesday, and it says, please drive slowly, worship in progress, and they put it out there to try to get people to slow down. People don't see that. Every time Rhody saw one of those signs, drive slow, children, Rhody speeded up. So I don't think people really paid attention to those signs very much at all. One of the major modes of transportation for a family of four is the little 150cc motorcycle. And you would see this all the time. One child there, the father, one child packed between the father and the mother, and they would go off down the road. You would see this all the time. No helmet. And they would just carry on. Maybe one helmet for somebody gets the lucky helmet. But you see that all the time. And these motorcycles would be flying in and out. They're all about 150cc motorcycles. You're not going to go tremendously fast on these, or you don't want to go very far. I used to have a 150cc scooter, and you didn't want to go very far on one of those. Quick trips, back and forth. But this is how they traveled. On Sunday, March 6th, we preached in Tegigerau, at the church in Tegigerau. And then Harry and I split up again. I went with June, Rhody's son, and we went to the Church of Christ that's in Marguerite. Now, June, he worships in Sunday morning at the Metro Church of Christ in Tegigerau, and then he drives Sunday afternoon, and he preaches at the church in Marguerite. And this is the church in Marguerite. This is a little, tiny little village, about 20, 25 minutes outside of Tegigerau. And the poverty there, again, it's unthinkable. You would not want to live like that. And yet, again, this is just a normal daily life. This is how people live. The building is a concrete building. June here is preaching. He's leading singing, and then he preaches. And June was amazing because June had it worse than I did on that Sunday. I preached, and I gave my lesson in the Filipino manner, where I was speaking very slowly and trying to enunciate every word very clearly, so that they could understand. And June, I'm noticing June is furiously writing notes the whole time. Because you know what he has to do? He has to summarize it in the local dialect next. And he spent about 15 or 20 minutes summarizing what I had said for the last hour in the local dialect. That's what this man did. Right off the cuff. Stan, you're going to summarize what I'm just doing here this evening. You're going to summarize it in 20 minutes. This is what they normally do. This is a normal thing for them to go worship one place and go preach another and go preach another. There are some preachers. Oh, this is the church building in Marguerite. It's a Haidite cinder block building, concrete roof, concrete floor. This is the members of the church here. Another look at the side of the building here. No air conditioning. No electricity. Yet they were all there. I just took this picture. This was this is the spaghetti that they call electric lines that's outside, that's running around to gig her out. And you would see this all over the place. You would look up and there's just lines going everywhere. This was early on a morning time. I was walking around the block just getting a little bit of exercise. The city is just waking up here. The vendor is pulling out his wares for the day. And then we're back here. We're preaching March 7th through the 10th at lectures at Tegigerau. Preach in the morning, preach in the afternoon, preach in the morning, preach in the afternoon, preach in the morning, preach in the afternoon. We did two lessons a day, both Harry and I. Rhody was preaching when we got there. We started about 9:30. Rhody was already preaching at 8:30, and there were already people there who were listening quite closely to what Rhody was preaching, teaching about. This is everything was videotaped, and I'm sure that by now that these have all been put on the air. All of our lessons have been put on the air on the TV there in the Philippines. As again, Rhody has a television program that runs Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Just some of the men who were there. These are men from up in the mountain areas around Tigigaraw. This is Ben, and I forget the names of these gentlemen. This is Ben. I've been in contact with him since I've left, and he's kind of keeping me posted about some things that are going on over there. This man right here, you know, he preaches in three congregations. Every Sunday, he preaches in three congregations up in the mountains. You know how he gets from congregation to congregation? Up and down the trails, through the mountains, on his bare feet. Or on his feet, not his bare feet, but with his shoes on. That's how he gets there. He three congregations every Sunday. Ben asked me very fervently, Ben said, "Can you get me some money to buy a horse?" I said, "A horse?" He said, "Not a vehicle?" He said, "No, he's up in the mountains. He's up on trails. The horse is sure-footed. Can you help me get him a horse?" I said, "Man, I'll do what I can do. I need $500 to buy a horse. I've got about $300 to buy a horse. If you want to help a man needs a horse. If you want to help a man with a horse, talk to me. I'm not kidding. I'm making light of this, but I'm not kidding. A man needs a horse. Why? Because he preaches in three congregations every Sunday. He walks there. You know, and one of the problems that we have in Granbury is getting people to worship services. I'm sure that at times you've had that problem here, getting people to worship services on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, on meeting times. I don't know about y'all, but every one of our members has a vehicle. Every one of our members has a vehicle and has air conditioning. Every one of our members has a vehicle, has air conditioning in it, and they have gas to put in the vehicle. And they have the keys, they have a driver's license, they've got everything that they need. And for some reason, they can't seem to take the keys out of their pocket, or take the keys off the shelf, take the keys off the hook, put it into the ignition, turn the ignition on, turn the air conditioner on. Oh, you want to listen to radio while you're coming? Turn the radio on. And come to worship services. Drive your 15 or 20 minutes, maybe 30, give you 30, in air conditioning, to come to worship services, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, to build up and strengthen your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because, you know, we have that duty and that obligation to edify one another, to build up and strengthen one another. We all supply something. And for some reason, we can't take advantage of all of the blessings that we have to come to worship services. And this man wants a horse so he can go preach in three different congregations. Sometimes I really wonder about us. Sometimes I truly wonder about us. Are we doing everything that we can do? Are we giving ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Some of these areas, like this man, and Rhody was telling me that the next time I go there, he's going to send me to these areas. And I said, "Oh, okay, Rhody, where am I going?" And he said, "Well, we're going to send you to some of the mountain areas. And some of these tribes up there, they used to be..." I said, "They did?" He said, "Yeah, some of them used to be..." But now the church has made its inroads there. And they're not anymore. but they still have that tradition, that background in them. That's what Rudy said he's going to send me next. Lord willing, I get to make it back there. I'll go. Be more than happy to go. And maybe I'll get to ride a horse. These are some of the men from some of the areas who were visiting with us in Tegucigalpa. This is Rody and his wife Tessie. Rody Goompod and his wife Tessie Goompod. They're going to be here, and I will send out notices when they're going to be here. And if you have the opportunity, I would encourage you to come down and meet them. This is his family, sons and daughters. Jerome, son-in-law, preacher. Mark, not yet, but close. He's real shy. June, preacher. JJ, preacher. They worship and they preach. And then daughters and grandchildren. This is their family. Wonderful, wonderful family. The hospitality of this family is just amazing. It's just amazing. The whole week long, there were preachers that came from 40, 50 miles away. And they, Rody and his family, put them up as they stayed there for the entire lectureship. They put them upstairs in their home, wherever they had room. They would house them and feed them the entire time that they were there. Wonderful, wonderful family. This was the hotel room in Tegucigalpa. It was a very old-style Filipino. This bed right here came up to about right here on me. It was just a foam mattress pad about this big. I took this picture because my cell phone was bigger than the pillow. It was bigger than the pillow. The pictures of the hotel room there in Roma. These are men who have gone through various preacher training programs in Tegucigalpa. They started this preacher training program many years ago, probably 2001, 2002, maybe even earlier than that. And these are just some of the men who have gone through, and they were all present at the lectures. This is just another group of more men who were there present at the lectures while we were there. Some of the women who were there. There's Tessie, and this is her sister, and I forget her sister's name. And don't worry about this little boy right here. He has a cleft lip, and we were trying to raise about $1,200, but I think that money has been raised to help him out, because Ben told me that he was in surgery about a week ago. He was in surgery to get his lip repaired. He's a 5-year-old little boy. Parents live up in the mountains, and they're faithful members of the church up there in the mountains, and I think that has been taken care of. That knee has been taken care of. You've been so very kind. I've spoken very, very quickly, and you've been so very, very kind and patient to let me go through 105 slides just like that. It took me 2 hours down in Granbury. 40 minutes, 45 minutes here. In Matthew chapter 28. Let me get my glasses on. I won't be able to read this if I don't put my glasses on. Matthew chapter 28. In verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, at times we have an opportunity to spread the gospel and take it to other places. I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to go to the Philippines, and I would like to be able to go back there. There is a receptiveness to those who are outside the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Philippines that you don't see all the time here. Not that work doesn't need to be done here. I would like the opportunity to go back to the Philippines one of these days. Maybe in about a year. I don't know. Harry's already planning his next trip. No, I can't make the trip again that quick. But we have a command to take the gospel to those who don't have it. And as we have ability and as we have opportunity, we ought to take advantage of those opportunities. We ought to put our abilities to use for Jesus Christ and His kingdom. And my question to you this evening, as we've looked at some of the Filipino brethren, and I've given you a very, very quick overview
of some of the things that have gone on there and are going on there, I want to ask you, do you have the true and honest zeal and desire that a Christian should? With all of the things that we have, all of the blessings that we have, are we putting those blessings to use for God? Or do we just take them for granted and say, oh, I'm so happy I live in the United States? Well, you know what? Things may change and something may happen, and we may be a third world country one of these days. Maybe in our lifetime, we might be the third world country. Would your faith be as strong then as it is now? Take the gospel with you. Spread the gospel. Can you think of one person in your life, just one? Acquaintance, friend, relative, co-worker. Just can you think of one person who needs the gospel of Jesus Christ? Take it to them. You know what? They may say no. Facts are, probably will say no. But you know what? If you can think of one person, then I guarantee you can think of two. And you start with one, yes, no, you go to the next one, yes, no, you go to the next one. If you can think of two, I guarantee you can think of three. Take the gospel with you. Let the zeal and the desire that you had at the point of baptism well up in you. And let that push you and drive you that you can't help but speak the things of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter and John said to the council. We can't help but speak these things. So I encourage you to have that zeal. Have that desire. Take the gospel. Take it to others. Let them know of the hope that is within you. And always be ready to offer a defense. I appreciate your kind attention. You've been so kind and you've been so attentive. Don't want to end anything without an invitation. If you're here this evening and you're not a member of the body of Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity presented to you right now. Not just at this particular moment, but even if you go home and you wake up in the middle of the night and you recognize and realize that I need to do something, contact one of the members. But if you're outside the body of Jesus Christ, if you recognize that you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, won't you do that? Baptism is for the remission of sins. Baptism adds you to the church. At that point, God adds you to the church because the church is the body of the saved. You're added to the body of the saved. You're translated into the kingdom. The kingdom and the church and the body, they're all the same thing. If you have not been baptized into Jesus Christ, why are you waiting? Won't you do that now? Won't you do that this evening? Everything is ready. If you have been baptized, but you recognize and realize that for whatever reason, you're letting sin control part, some, a portion of your life. Won't you cease that? Won't you stop doing that and give your life back over to Jesus Christ? If you need to repent of something, I encourage you to go to God in prayer and ask for His forgiveness. If it's of a public matter, or you feel you need the prayers of the congregation, come forward and we'll pray with you. You're a strength to us, as we can be to you. That's the invitation of Jesus Christ. It's simple, it's direct, and it all depends on you making that first step. Once you make that first step, everything is ready. If you need to respond to the gospel, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.